Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 122, Nathan Hirsch. This is such a great interview because, you know, immediately I get a takeaway. You know, I get a really great takeaway about parenting. And it's not from Nathan. It's really from Nathan's parents. And the approach that they took for a kid who's clearly gifted at many different things, I think they did a great job of outlining the options, helping him get a frame of reference for each, but then backing off and letting him choose. And I think it's, you'll hear in the interview, I think he chose the correct path. But again, as a parent, I just appreciate that. Well done, Mr. and Mrs. Hirsch. Well done, I say you. Well, Nathan is a power seller. I mean, he's selling many millions on Amazon. And he owns a company called FreeUp with three E's. And I'm really excited to talk about it. And we get mostly into his background in this segment, but we'll get into the company business. It's coming. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And man, I am so excited about tonight's guest. We connected a while back and we really never found each other. And finally, I think it was, I fell short, quite frankly. But, you know, we finally got together and I'm so excited to hear about his business. But he's a mega seller and I want to talk about that too. Nathan Hirsch. Welcome, Nathan.
Thanks for having me.
Man, I am so excited. We're going to talk about FreeUp. Got to have that extra E in there. It's FreeUp.
For e-commerce.
And we're going to talk about – say that again?
It's for e-commerce, the 30.
Oh, nice. Oh, clever. The logo is cool. I love the arrow. Somebody was very clever doing that with the tilted E. I get it. I like it. I mean, it's very easy, very simple. And it's a service that helps with VAs, right? Finding remote workers. Is that the term you use?
Yep, remote workers from $5 to $50 an hour, both U.S. and non-U.S.
Okay, so even in the U.S. All right, I'm interested to hear about that. However, Nathan is an e-commerce seller, and he's a large e-commerce seller. And so I want to get into that story. So I know you went to school. We'll talk about that. But did you do anything in high school thinking that you were going to be an entrepreneur? I mean, was that it?
Yeah, so my mom owns a kindergarten, so she knew a lot of the parents in my town. And she knew one of the parents that was a president for a company, Aaron's. It's kind of like a rent-a-center. And he was a big shot, an awesome guy, really took me under his wing as an intern while I was in high school, which was kind of unheard of. And I learned a lot from him. And I also got to see how cool his lifestyle was now that he had built this awesome business. He didn't have to be at work by 8 a.m. He could be on the golf course working and no one really knew or cared, or he didn't have to report to anyone. So that kind of opened my eyes. It was like, all right, I can go get a real job, or if I play my cards right and I follow the lessons I've learned and have a lot of success, I can be in that position where I'm actually the boss and I actually call the shots. And then I have that flexibility and freedom to both work hard and play hard.
Love it. And so that's why you decided to go get a degree in entrepreneurship.
Yes. That, and on the first day of college, this professor of mine that was a business professor talked to all the business students, and she begged us to do entrepreneurship instead of doing like accounting and finance and all that. She was like, you know what, all these other jobs, the economy goes up, the economy goes down. If you want to have success, if you want to take risks and really enjoy life and live it to the fullest, and you love business, focus on entrepreneurship. So that kind of put me over the deep end, knowing that I wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Now, that's unheard of. I mean, you know, I just think of all the people that I went to school with, and I have an accounting degree. Thank you very much. But that's not what they told us. You know, you got to get that good steady job. Accounting is the way to go, blah, blah, blah. They weren't talking now. I guess I'm a lot older than you are, but they weren't talking about it. So it's very encouraging to hear somebody. What did she teach? Was she an entrepreneurship teacher?
Yeah, she ran the whole program. So I don't know if her motivation was to get more people in the program or what, but I remember listening to her message and it really hit me for some reason.
Do you remember how many people took advantage of that? From that conversation? I mean, how many people were in the conversation, were listening to her?
I believe it was in front of the whole business class. If it wasn't the whole, then they split us up into halves or thirds. But it was a large group of people.
How many people do you think took advantage of it?
Definitely not as many as the other departments. There were definitely more in accounting and finance than there were in my entrepreneurship classes.
And how many of them are regretting it today? My bet. You know, you think about that, right? You know, you think, you know, that, you know,
to go the safe route, you know, get that job, you know, go in public accounting. That's what everybody wanted to do. Just go in public accounting and then you'll eventually be a partner, blah, blah, blah. I know so many people getting out of it because of the grind. It's become a grind. What you described about having freedom, there is no freedom. It's gone.
Agreed. I have a lot of friends. If you just look at their salary and their promotions over time, they're very successful. Would I want to live that lifestyle personally? No. But who am I to say that they're more successful than me or I'm more successful than them? But I agree. I mean, it's very restricting. It's 30, 40 years of your life that you're never going to get back. And in my opinion, it's worth it, especially if you're at a young age. Take the risk. You can always go back to those jobs if it doesn't work out. Those jobs aren't going anywhere. So when you're young, and that's one of the mindsets I had, that I'm just going to go, and if I fail, I have enough confidence in myself and my intelligence that I can go get a real job down the line.
And your mom was in favor of it. I mean, this wasn't really a, oh, what are you doing? I mean, it was like, I know you can do it kind of thing.
My parents are incredibly supportive for both me and my sister, or my sister and I. And she supports whatever decision I make. But at the same time, when I was graduating college and my Amazon business had just taken off, we were doing a few million dollars in sales right when I was going to graduate. I had that decision because I worked for the Firestone Corporation and they offered me a full-time job. And then I actually had another job offer from Oban Penn in the corporate office. It's like a Panera, if you've never heard of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, heard of it.
And then I had my own company, and I had to decide which one. And I think my parents were definitely more leaning towards, we sent you to college. All right, you had your fun. It's time to get a real job. But when I told them my decision, incredibly supportive, and they've supported me ever since.
They didn't say, go get an MBA first or do any of that jazz.
My parents are always the type of people to lay out options and lay out the pros and cons of every option, which I think has really helped me in my problem solving ability in business. So it was never like, you should do this. It was more like, here are options. Here's why you should do it.
All right, parents, we all heard that. That's a great, great approach. And then, you know, you help you understand those options, right? And then you get to make the ultimate choice, right? Looking back at it, regrets at all?
Regrets in terms of becoming an entrepreneur?
Yeah. I mean, have you ever thought to yourself, I mean, because it, you know, let's face it, you know, it's all on seven, right? It's a great day and then it's the most awful day of your life and then it's a great day, right? That's what happens in entrepreneurship. Have there been days when you sit back and you think, boy, Bob has got it made. He's just going to work. He's got his vacation. He's taking 2 weeks off for vacation or whatever, 1 week probably. And man, he's, you know, got the 2.3 kids in the house and all that jazz. You ever think that way?
To be honest, no, just because I love my job and I love everything I do. Early on, I definitely crossed my mind. There were times, especially during busy season, the fourth quarter, where you're like, oh my God, like, why can't I celebrate Christmas? But yeah, it's weird because there's so many pros and cons in everything. I've never really regretted it because I kind of knew what the alternative was. The alternative is you go to work 9 to 5. You might not be passionate about your job. You might not care about it. And over time, it could make you unhappy. So I definitely didn't regret it in terms of business decisions or maybe decisions I made when I wasn't young enough to understand splitting up business and personal. I think I regret some stuff there, but I don't think there's an entrepreneurship or a person that goes into entrepreneurship that doesn't make mistakes at the beginning.
No, and I think that's part of it. And I bet you Bob has regretted it, that he didn't go to the entrepreneur class when they see how success, especially when they see the freedom that you have. I mean, I think that's ultimately when you can have success and you can have freedom both, because it's usually one or the other, right? You know, back when I think back to the entrepreneurs, they were the people that were always like the, you know, back when I was a kid, honest to God, they were the people who were the dreamers who were, oh, yeah, they're going to make it happen. Yeah, they're starting another thing. And they'd always fail, right? Now it's a different world. You know, now it's, you can have that end because, you know, because of companies like FreeUp, right? I mean, you know, making a plug for you, but it's a God's honest truth. You don't have to have somebody to go in and see if they're doing their work. You can check it from any place you want. And my bet is that's what you do, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can be anywhere. And my parents and I talk about this all the time. I mean, when they were growing up, they're starting their career, doing what I do wasn't even an option. They couldn't work from home or anything like that with the invention of the internet really changed the whole game. And there's so much opportunity. There's so many different companies like FreeUp and lots of other companies there to just help you along the way. And the whole remote worker and being able to work with people in other states and with Skype and all these other ways of connecting, even stuff like FaceTime, it just changed the whole game. And there's so many opportunities. I think people don't realize how many opportunities there really are and why it's worth going after those opportunities, especially when you're younger.
I agree. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about you. You mentioned that you had $1 million Amazon business, millions of dollars of Amazon business. I want to come back and talk about that. And then I want to talk about why you're not growing your sales. Okay, we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
This episode is sponsored by me. Yes, I'm sponsoring my own podcast. This is the ecommercemomentum.com is actually sponsoring it. And it's because I've been able to get the new website up. Not finished by any stretch, but I had to get it up because the player is so much better. You really want to go check out the player. It lets you do so many cool things, including Clamor. And if you don't know what Clamor is, once you try it, you will love it. You can take snippets and send them to somebody else. It's very cool. But I've also added a blog page, and I have my first post up, and they're just short thoughts that I have. I wrote 19 of them when I was on vacation, just different things that I think I'm hopefully going to provoke some thought and get you thinking about really investing in your business, because I think it's time to invest in this lifestyle business, but I want you to invest in your life. And some of these things are going to be about life. Some of these things are going to be about reducing touch points, things that, you know, are on my mind, and I talk to so many people, they're on their mind too. So I think there's some benefit there. So ecommercemomentum.com, when you sign up, you will get 25, yeah, here my big sales pitch, 25 things you can outsource in your business. I think most of them will be intuitive. There's a few there you might say, huh, I might didn't even think I could do that, but you can, and I give you a list of different things, all free, and I just hope you sign up, because then you'll receive notifications when I do post a new blog post or when I have a new episode coming out. These episodes, you know, two a week plus some blog posts, I put out a lot of content. I really hope you enjoy it. Again, if you see somebody that you think is worth me interviewing, send me a note, private message me, and I'd love to talk with them. ecommercemomentum.com is the sponsor. Take care. I told you it's a great story. And I think, again, as a parent, if you have kids, this is really your opportunity. Lay out the options, because they're going to have a lot more than what you had. And it's just going to continue generation to generation, and lay it out. In this segment, we're going to spend some time talking about drop shipping. I wasn't really familiar with the method that he's using. I had basic understanding. But, I mean, we're talking huge scale. But he uses his own services. You'll hear he goes between 10 and 30 virtual assistants, remote workers, as he calls them. And I just think that anybody who understands our business that can offer a service, it's a big advantage, because we do have a weird business. His business is free up remote workers, and some of them are in the U.S., and that's a big deal. So English is not going to be a barrier. The other thing is, when you hire someone through his program, you're getting the skill set you need. They vet them for the skill set. They might not understand the software, but they know how to use software of that level, you know, video editing, Amazon listings, eBay listings, that kind of thing. And so, again, not many services offer that. So they'll also help you with replacing if they leave, retraining, that kind of stuff. We get into all those details. But the coolest thing is he's given 10% off. If you use eCommerce Momentum, when you sign up, it asks you how you found out about it. If you use eCommerce Momentum, you get 10% off forever. And so when I use it, I'm putting my own, well, hope he doesn't mind, I'm putting my own logo or podcast name in there, because I'm taking the 10% for my help. Let's get into the podcast.
All right, we're back, and we're talking with Nathan Hirsch, who is an e-commerce seller, a large e-commerce seller, but he also owns a company called FreeUp. Got that extra E for e-commerce. How did I do?
He did well.
All right, good. But, you know, before the break, we were talking about that you sell many millions of dollars on Amazon. You've been doing that for quite a while. You've been selling for 7 years. That's a long time in e-commerce world for a young guy. So pretty much that's what you know. You started in college and you had built it up large at that point. You've told me earlier before the pre-call, you mentioned that, you know, your sales, and then you don't think you're going to grow this year. And it's kind of intentional because, you know, you're working on your other business. But what I love to hear is how you can go. I mean, do you have this massive warehouse?
No. So my business is actually drop shipping. So I don't touch 99.9% of the products that I sell. And that's actually one of the reasons that I'm not expanding. And I know I could go into private label or FBA. For whatever reason, I don't really have desire to do that. But with drop shipping, it's tough to grow once you get to a certain point and keep the level of quality assurance that it takes to stay on Amazon. And with Amazon, it's very risky if you can't expand and keep your quality up at the same time. And we definitely ran into quality assurance issues as we grew. And in my mind, it wasn't worth the risk, worth the reward. Because if we grew, I mean, yeah, you can get bigger and bigger and bigger, but you're just jeopardizing the whole company. And I'm also a big fan of diversifying. And having all your eggs in one basket, everything with your Amazon store is a good way to be disappointed down the line. I do a lot with Amazon suspensions. I help sellers get unsuspended all the time. And it sucks. People wake up one day and their entire business is gone. And we definitely ran into quality assurance issues as we got bigger. That kind of was an eye opener for me. And I wanted to put systems in place to make sure the quality assurance stayed up, but it also meant slowing down expansion. And to me, if I'm not expanding at a rapid pace, the business really isn't fun for me anymore.
And I get that. I mean, I respect it. And, you know, the fact that you have 20 remote workers or up to 30 when it's peak season, that's a job. I mean, that's a large company. That's a lot of responsibility, even though the remote workers, that still is. It could get old, and I could see it getting old, especially because you're not in control, right? I mean, I think that's one of the issues that I think people run into when they scale up to a large point, because you have one business, right? Other than Freedom with Amazon, that's if they close your account, you're out of business.
Exactly.
And you affected 10 to 30 people, right?
Couldn't agree more. And it's about keeping people safe with their jobs as much as it is for your own personal gain.
Now, from what I understand, and I had somebody on the other day who started out drop shipping on eBay. That was their model. They would source on Amazon, Walmart, Target, wherever they could, and they would sell the merchandise on eBay, never touch the product, and that's what happened. In your model, explain to me how it works.
Sure. So we started off that way for sure. Actually, I started off buying and selling textbooks back in college. That was how I first got into it. And then textbooks led me to Amazon, because you don't sell books without learning about Amazon. And then from there, I started buying from deal sites and drop shipping on Amazon. That led me to the big box retailers like Walmart, Home Depot, all those places, which you drop ship for years. Then we moved to manufacturers and distributors. We realized distributors are pretty awful, not only because they mark up prices, but because sometimes you don't even have authorization to sell what you think you do, because they just care about pushing product and not about stuff like that. And so right now we got away from the...
Wait, go back there. So sure. Give me an example of what you mean by that.
Sure.
So, did you mean that somebody's selling a product they're not authorized?
Yeah. So people, distributors will buy lots of different products, and then their job is to get rid of those products. But you, as someone buying from the distributors, you might not have permission to buy those products and then sell them on Amazon or sell them on eBay or put them on their website.
So from the manufacturer. So I'm looking at my coffee cup. So my coffee cup company, for whatever reason, that stuff ended up with a distributor who may or may not have permission to sell it.
Distributor has permission to sell it.
Okay. So the manufacturer thinks the distributor's selling it to who?
It doesn't matter who they're selling it to on the back end. The point is that you might not be able to resell it then again. And it's a very gray area. And I know a lawyer, CJ from Amazon Sellers Lawyer, and we talk about this all the time. Because when you're selling someone's product, you're also using their pictures, using their trademark. But then at the same time, there's a first sale doctrine that says that you can resell anything you want once you've purchased it. But it doesn't necessarily say that you can use the trademarks and images. So while it might not be okay for you, or while it might be okay for you to sell the product, it might not be okay for you to use their copyrights and trademarks. Very gray area. I don't know the right answer. I know there's a lot of different lawsuits and stuff going around on it. But Amazon started to crack down on that as well. So if Amazon comes to you and they're like, hey, do you have permission to sell this product? And you're like, yes, I do. The distributor told me so. Amazon has no verification. The distributor even has the right to it. And then you go to the distributor, like, where's my authorization to sell it? And the distributor is not really going to help you, or they don't have anything saying that you were actually allowed to sell it. Whereas if you buy from the manufacturer, you obviously have permission from them to sell that product.
Okay. All right. That's clear. That could be because I couldn't understand what you meant, but I get it with the trademark and the pictures and stuff like that. That makes perfect sense to me. But you could still sell the product, but you don't have rights to do it that way. And that's how they enforce it. So I get it. And right now they're selectively enforcing it. I think it's the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? It's the manufacturer or, you know, other distributors complaining the most, they seem to be getting the action.
Yeah, and I see both sides of it. I see the seller side where it's like, listen, I bought this product, why can't I sell it? And I see the manufacturer side where if you spent 5 years creating this company and then you go online and you see all these people you've never heard of selling your product, I can see why they would be pissed as well. So it's a very gray area.
Yeah, especially if they're pissed and they're not agreeing to, you know, the reputation that the product's trying to do, which is if they, you know, want to keep a certain price or, you know, reinforce a, warranty and stuff like that. So I get that, too. I think there is, you know, it just would be nice if it was a little easier. Hey, we don't sell to you. Okay, boom, you can move on. You know, it's that sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. That's what gets me sometimes, you know. And from now, you know, when I go and find people now, I just tell them right up front, hey, I'm an e-commerce only. If you're cool with that, I'm cool with that. By the way, I don't want terms. I don't want any of that stuff. But if you're not, I'm cool with that, too. You know what I mean? And then we can just move on. And that seems to help a lot. I've not really stretched the distributor level, and it's an interesting point you bring up. You know, have you – well, since you don't do a lot – you don't source yourself, it would be interesting to wonder if a distributor – if you could say to them, okay, I want to sell this coffee cup, but can you get me the written authorization before I do, before I place my order?
Yeah.
I wonder if that would work. That might be an interesting – actually, I'm going to be away at a trip this next week, and maybe I'll try that and just to see see if there's an option for that. It's interesting.
Yeah, okay. That's what we do. Right now, we don't sell anything on our – I'm all about eliminating risk, so we don't sell anything on our Amazon store unless we have written permission for it now.
Okay, and so how did you get that permission?
By contacting the manufacturer right away, building the relationship with whoever the owner or the salesperson of the company is.
Okay, and you just say, hey, can you give me, you know, just even an email saying, you know, hey, Nathan, you're good to go. You can sell our, you know, coffee cups, blah, 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 right?
Yeah, I don't need a huge legal document. I just need something saying I have permission to use their pictures, use their copyright, their content, and stuff like that.
So use their pictures, their copyright, and their content. Okay, those are good. Those are good.
And their trademark, if it's there. Yeah.
And their trademark. Okay, all right. And you would agree to MAP if they require it, that kind of thing?
Exactly. I mean, that's a whole other issue. Is MAP even a real thing? Can you enforce what price someone sells a product for if you don't have anything in writing? I can see if I went to a distributor or I went to a manufacturer and I agree, hey, I can sell your product if I sell it above this price. But if I just buy this product from Target or I buy this product from a distributor, I've never even talked to the manufacturer. First sale doctrine in place saying I can resell anything. Why can't I go below it? I never agreed to that. And again, I see both sides to it, but that's the argument a lot of Amazon sellers take, and I don't really know who's right or wrong.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because if you get an exclusive account, we have an exclusive account, and we agree to MAP. But that doesn't prevent somebody coming in on the listing, and they bought it from Zulily, right, who's a liquidation company, and they bought it from Zulily, and they can put it out there. You can't prevent that. They could sell it for what they want, right, other than you can try to get them off the listing and all that kind of jazz. But you don't have control of somebody else. So, yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah.
Okay, so your business is scaled. You've scaled it to where you want to be, and you're going to kind of level there because you've been investing in your side hustle, which has grown into a large business, FreeUp. And there's three E's in FreeUp, so we got to make sure we remember. And just remember the E stands for e-commerce, okay? And so explain to me why you created FreeUp. I think I know the answer, but go ahead.
Sure. So when I first moved from Connecticut to Florida, I had mostly remote workers, but they were all U.S. I had never outsourced before. And I was trying to keep...
Oh, how did you find them? How did you find U.S. workers? Because that's unheard of.
Yeah. So I hired a lot of people from college, which was both good and bad. Hiring your friends. I think I did a decent job of hiring my friends and keeping it business and personal separate. But at the same time, you can never do a perfect job doing it. So a lot of people I'd hire from college. We put ads on Indeed.com and stuff like that, and found different people and hired different remote workers that way. And then when I moved to Florida, a buddy of mine that I played softball with told me about Odesk, and I thought it was the greatest thing ever. It's now called Upwork. I hired an Odesk army. I called it my Odesk army. I hired like 50 workers, and that was right before like a busy season, and they did everything from listing products to customer care. I gave all my full-time employees assistance, that my assistants had assistance. Everything was very broken down and structured, and I had a lot of really good experiences doing that, and it helped me scale the business immensely. But during that time, I also just learned a lot about how hard hiring is, especially if you're doing it around the world, especially if you're not in the same building as someone else. And there were a lot of ups and downs. I had people quit. I had people disappear. I had to chase people down. People wouldn't follow directions. The training, which was probably my fault, didn't go as smoothly as it could be. So I really wanted to come up with the perfect business that I wish I had had when I first started hiring.
I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, And there are other companies that do similar services. And I'm thinking, though, to actually talk to somebody who understands the e-commerce world, because it's so complicated. You try to tell people, wait, you buy things and you resell them, and sometimes you touch them, sometimes you don't. And wait, then you can use another company to ship and prep these things for you. What is this? And you have inventory where, you know, in 26 states. What? You know, to have somebody who actually understands it is a very unique position to be in, because you know the grief that comes with an e-commerce business, right?
Exactly. And there's so much that goes into it, from just writing new content to SEO work, PPC, whether it's Google or Amazon, just building Shopify stores. There's just so much that goes into that. And then there's just normal business stuff that you have to do on top of the e-commerce stuff, whether it's bookkeeping or data entry or scheduling or meeting new clients, sending sales pitches, whatever it is. So there's just so much that goes into it. And just having these remote workers, it's such a key. I have 15 assistants that work for me and free up underneath me that do everything from recruitment to payroll. So everything is just – everything has a need for those remote assistants so that you can focus on the big picture, which is sales. If you're growing your company, if you're the owner of the company, you're not focusing on expansion, getting more manufacturers, more sales, and instead you're answering emails or doing smaller tasks, that's not an efficient use of your time.
You know, I sit here and I look at what your company offers. The difference, what you're doing, is you're actually going to train people. Because I'm sitting here thinking, you know, what would be ideal? Okay, and I'm going to ask you to do this for me. Okay, so got a small business and I'm doing $10,000 or $15,000 a month myself, probably working a part-time job or a full-time job and just doing that. And I'm getting up to the 20 and 30 mark, but I'm stuck, right? Because that's where a lot of the people that I talk with are. And they're trying to get past it. Can you help us design what you would suggest would be a way to add on remote workers? Where would you start? What would it look like in that mode of being around $30,000 a month, and what would it look like at $60,000 a month? Could you help me fill that in?
Sure. So my breakdown for it is very similar. What I would do is I would take everything you do on a day-to-day and week-to-week basis, and I would prioritize it from easiest to hardest, where the easiest might be customer emails, the hardest might be launching a new product, and then figuring out where you're spending the most time too. And starting at the bottom of the list and really putting in remote workers and moving up the list until you're uncomfortable, taking a step back, doing a run through, making sure that quality assurance is there, and then moving back up the list. And that's really how you're going to free up your time. That's how a lot of my clients do it. We have over 300 clients with free up now. And that's been the advice that I give almost all of them. And every business is different. It's tough to kind of talk overall. I mean, every client has their own business model. They sell on different platforms. They use different softwares. So it's very tough to be like, all right, this is the next step. Instead, you really want to focus on where your time is spent and what you should be doing, and starting at the bottom and working your way up. Now, there's two sides of that. We have clients who know what they're doing and they have the processes and they just need the workers in place to do those processes. And then there's the clients that are at the point of expansion where they want to take it to the next level, but they just don't know how. And that's when you hire more of the experts. And we offer $5 to $50 an hour workers. If you want to think of it, the 25 and less or more of those lower level people that go into the processes, the 20, 25 and up are more of the experts. If you don't know how to build a Shopify store, but you have an Amazon store and you want to diversify, that's when you hire an expert. If you want to move your products higher on Amazon rankings, but you don't know how, that's when you hire an expert. So there's really two ways to use remote workers, not only building those process, putting them in the processes to free up your time, but also on the expansion side of it.
And let me make sure I'm clear on this, and I think I'm correct, is that if you're hiring a more experienced remote worker and they have that skill set, you've already vetted them, so they have the skill set that I'm looking for, they're not going to spend as much time. So while their cost per hour is higher, the project is the project. They're going to finish it in the right number of hours and be done, as opposed to somebody, you know, I can go on Fiverr and get somebody for, you know, $50 to do the whole project, but you know, how long does it sit? Who knows how long you're chasing it, right? That kind of thing. Is that what you've experienced?
It kind of depends. There are some short-term projects, but in e-commerce or just in business in general, the short-term projects, anytime you, things just get outdated very quickly as you grow. I'm a big fan of keeping things up to date. And the clients that are like, all right, this is going to be a one-time thing. I'm just going to do it. I'm done. I mean, it just doesn't work. They end up coming back in 6 months, and then it's just extremely outdated. Whereas the people who are like, all right, let's do SEO and then let's check up on it every 2 weeks and let's make sure, let's update our keywords, let's adjust our titles, stuff like that. Those are the clients or the companies that have the most success over time. There's very few short-term projects that are actually short-term. Even stuff like infographics or creating a logo or a banner, like how long are you really going to let it sit there before it gets outdated? So I'm more of the mindset that almost everything is long-term. Not everything has to be 40 hours a week long-term, but you want to come up with – you really want to have a structure in place where it's every 2 weeks you check on this, every month you check on this, so nothing gets out of date.
And they're paying attention. Well, because if it doesn't, somebody has to pay attention. Otherwise, it will fall behind. I agree with you there.
Exactly.
So in the example of somebody building a Shopify store, right? So there's a lot of front-end work. There's a lot of that up front. And then you think that you're done. But there is maintenance, right? And that's what your point is, that somebody needs to be a long-term. So there's probably a heavier hours up front, and then it logs down to a reasonable number, and then it goes on. Is that kind of your experience?
Yes, especially when you hire the expert. In some situations, you hire the expert to build it, and then you hire a lower-level person to maintain it and do the processes. And maybe the expert checks in every once in a while. So exactly what you said. That's right.
Okay. So let's use my example. Do you help identify, hey, Steve, I know you want a Shopify store. Give me a little bit of an outline. Here's a probably the number of hours you're looking at for something like that. Is that part of what the service that you offer?
Sure. So let me kind of backtrack and explain a little more. So we're not actually training the workers for you. We're hiring workers that already have these skills. We're vetting them for reliability. We have a great interview process that I created myself. We have 15 pages of communication guidelines our workers have to memorize and get tested on, because we know how important communication is for remote workers. And in my opinion, communication is everything for remote workers. And all the workers speak perfect English, or they don't get a foot into our interview process. So we have the reliable workers. We have all these different skill sets that we're always recruiting for. We make them available to our clients on a first-come, first-served basis. Now, all of our experts work the same way. If you hire an Amazon expert, a Google PPC, a social media expert, the first 1 to 2 hours build time, they're going to meet with you. They're going to do their research, do their due diligence, come up with a game plan that includes hourly estimates going forward. And then they're going to work with you to tweak it if needed, if you want to take something out or add something on. And once you approve the game plan, then they'll get set and go forward. And clients ask me that the number one question I get all the time when a new client comes to me is, how much is this going to cost me, or how long is this going to take? I never put words into my workers' mouths. I don't want to estimate time for them. It's not fair to them. And to be honest, I would just be saying a random number. You don't want to just hire someone on Fiverr or hire someone at Upwork that's like, oh, I'll do this in 10 hours, because they haven't taken the time to actually look and see what it entails and suggest different things and choose the options that work for them. So once my experts get that approval, then they move forward with the hours. But you really have to talk to the worker directly before getting the hourly estimates. I'll give you the worker's hourly rate, but the estimates come from the workers.
Okay, and what I appreciate is that, you know, they get vested in your business. They understand it, because, as you say, if they do a quick, you know, one project, it's going to be out of date very quickly. That's not going to be lasting, and it's got to be an ongoing project. One of the things I liked about your site too is the clients that you have, right? So you have some, clients that are speaking, well about your service, but not all of them are just e-commerce only at this point. Because I asked that question in our pre-interview. I'm like, wait, are any of these guys brick and mortar? And you said some of them are, and they're transitioning. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, we've got clients that have nothing to do with e-commerce that just love our workers. But to what you were talking about, we do have clients that have their own store or boutique, or they want to get on e-commerce for the first time, or maybe their products are listed, but they've gained no traction whatsoever. And then we have other clients who are huge and who have been selling for 7 years. We have some clients who do $180 million in sales a year. So we cater to all needs, whether you just need to get on the platform for the first time, and that's when the expert really comes in. Because when you go on Upwork or go on all these different sites, how do you really know if someone's an expert? Whereas we're giving out these workers that have great feedback from our clients in the past that we've already pre-vetted. And then we help the large businesses as well. So it really doesn't matter if you're in the early years of your e-commerce store, if you've been doing it forever, or if you haven't gone on e-commerce before. The only thing we really won't help you with is like finding you a product to sell. You can train our workers to find you good products if you have a certain way that you source products, and they'll listen to you and follow your directions. But there's no Nathan Hirsch's special way of finding products that will just give you a worker that will just find you products to make a lot of money on.
But you found, so you have access though to people who have sourced for other people until they're familiar with it, and then, hey, here's Steve's personal technique. Here's what I want you to do. Here's the parameters I want. That kind of thing. Those workers are out there too.
Yes, we have a lot of them. As long as you're willing to take the time to train the worker to do it exactly how you want to do it, using the exact software that you want to use, then those are the clients that really like my sourcing workers. The clients that don't like my sourcing workers are the ones that are like, all right, you're hired. Go find me products.
Well, I love the product management. I mean, you sit back and you think about your business, right? And you think about all the pieces that are working, right? And maybe they're not all working. All the pieces that are moving, how about I say it that way? And you, like you said, you start to figure out where you're comfortable, where you're not. Because what I like to do might not be what you like to do. And so the beauty is we can remote source labor to do different things because I want to keep doing this because I enjoy it, right?
Exactly. And I always tell new clients this. I have over 300 clients that all have different business models. They all use different software. It's impossible for me to find workers that are business model specific or software model specific. It would just be impossible. What I can provide is people with 5 years, 6 years Amazon experience or eBay experience or have ran numerous successful Google PPC campaigns before. And a lot of it does apply across the board and some of it doesn't, and you're going to have to train the worker. But yeah, again, there's no one-stop solution that just – that I can find workers to fill every single software out there. It just doesn't work that way.
Okay, so let's talk costs. How do you make your money?
Sure. So our workers pay us a commission for every hour worked to find them work. On the client side, there's no setup fee. There's no monthly fee. If I tell you a worker is $10 an hour, you're paying $10 an hour. They're all independent contractors, so there's no payroll fees.
And so there's an incentive for you to keep them working, and there's an incentive for them to keep you finding them more clients, right? I mean, that's good.
Exactly.
So that keeps that, that's the, I love it. You know, I sit back and I look at the skill sets and I'm thinking about, man, I'm thinking my own business and I'm like, oh my God, you know, these are things that I need help with, you know, hire free up for processing and submitting orders, sending tracking information, handling problem orders. How many of those do we all get? And yet, you know, to hire somebody locally to sit there and do things. You have people that can help with suspensions and appeals?
So that's actually all right. So we offer the workers. That's our main service. And then I'm an Amazon consultant myself, and I offer suspension and ungating services on the side. Those are the fixed price services that we offer. And we're pretty good at it, although past history doesn't guarantee future outcome. But yeah, we want to help our clients move forward. We want to help them if they get stuck. So all these extra services are available to our clients.
Love it. I love the inventory software management. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking about if people really start to understand how many pieces to this business, especially as they scale up, because you can't scale up independently and really create a long-term business model. Now, I love the idea you said about too is, you know, a Shopify store. That's a hot topic right now. And I think people are thinking more that way to say, hey, I need some other platform to be able to sell my merchandise. And it helps me look more legitimate to wholesalers, right? And so those are things that you've helped people in the past with, find people that can do that?
Yes. Diversify, diversify, diversify. Whether it's hiring a worker and instead of hiring one and teach them how to do everything, breaking it up so no one's irreplaceable, or if it's a manufacturer and instead of having one, making sure that you don't have one manufacturer that's generating all your sales, to where you're getting your revenue. Make sure you're not just dependent on Amazon or dependent on your website. Diversify as much as possible. It'll protect you in the long run, and you'll be happy you've done it. You did it. And we have workers that can help you do it in so many different ways.
Okay. And so, again, it's from $5 an hour to $50 an hour. And give me an example of what a $5 an hour employee skill set would be.
Sure. So let me kind of clarify. Our workers are first come, first serve. We give our workers out to the clients that come first. We don't hold on to workers for people. It's unfair to the workers. They want to work just like the clients want to hire. So sometimes I'll get cheaper workers for different positions. Sometimes it'll be more expensive depending on availability. What I can do is I can give you ballparks of what things normally cost.
Right.
When you're in that $5 to $7 an hour range, even $5 to $6 an hour is your data entry or lower level. Once you get into the 6 to 10, you're looking lower level Amazon, lower level customer care, or international customer care, because we have U.S. and non-U.S. for every position. So international customer care is probably in the 6 to 8, whereas if you add in phone support, you're probably in that 8 to 10 international. U.S. customer care is more in the 12 to 20 range. mid-level Amazon, or I'm sorry, Amazon Expert International is more in the 12 to 25 range, whereas Amazon Expert US is more in the $25 to $50 an hour range. Same thing with eBay. It's very similar pricing there. SEO and PPC, Google PPC, non-US is going to be in the 15 to 20 range. US is probably in the 20 to 40 range. Yeah, I mean, do you have any specific skills you want me to give you a range for?
Well, no, I was just, you did a good job with it. I'm just sitting here thinking about, you know, I mean, what would a $50, because I always think of a lawyer, right? Yeah. Lawyers used to be $100 an hour. Now they're $400 an hour, yeah, right? And so I think about that, what level that would be. And I kind of get the higher end, I think. It's the lower end I'm trying to understand. So as I think about, you know, customer service and things like that. And I love it. I love, again, you know, I know so many people that I talk with are at this stage and they're trying to figure out how to move their business forward. You're an example of somebody who understands our business. Do you see getting, I mean, this is the stupidest question, right? You're going to be like, oh, this is dumb, Steve. You know, getting help, obviously, if you need to scale up, you need help. You're maybe a little biased, but you believe remote workers are probably the most efficient, right? Because they're working the number of hours you need them to work because the work is there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all about remote workers. Just for on the saving side, you save money without taxes if you do it with independent contracting. On the hour side, you don't necessarily need to hire full time. With FreeUp, there's no minimums. There's no, you don't need to commit to a certain amount of hours or anything like that, although we have lots of clients that do, and it definitely reserves your space hiring that worker. But it's a great way to really grow your business and increase hours over time and not be burdened with different minimums and different full-time workers and stuff like that, and not have to keep hiring and firing people every time something goes wrong. And it's a really great way to expand your company.
Well, and I also love that you have it in writing here that says, hey, Steve, if that person quits and they were doing customer service for you, we will give you access to another person that can take that responsibility on, right?
And not only that, we cover all retraining costs. So our workers rarely quit. 99.9% of the time, it just doesn't happen. The workers love being in our network. Can I make it 100% of the time? Definitely not. It's impossible. People quit. People make bad decisions. People disappear. It happens. But when it does happen, you're protected. Whereas if you don't use FreeUp and you go on these different sites, if one of your workers quits one day or disappears, you're the next day, the next week, the next 2 weeks, you're going to be interviewing a lot of people trying to fill that spot and making sure that you fill it right, or you're just going to make a rush hire, which is risky for a lot of reasons. With FreeUp, we're going to pay you for all the retraining costs if you hire a new worker from us, and we're going to get you a new worker really quickly, same day, almost all the time. So it's a really good position to be in to not only make sure that you never pay for training twice, but also make sure that you get a new worker right away and you're always protected. If a worker quits in the middle of busy season, you know that you're not just going to get left out to dry.
Do you have any best practices on training that you would offer to people to help train the remote worker?
Do not do one-on-one training sessions via Skype call without recording it. It's the biggest mistake my clients make. In my opinion, anyone who's not US, I always do training in writing. I know it takes longer. A good worker wants something to look back on. A good worker, even the best worker, is going to forget something during training. And having that writing there is very efficient for them to go back rather than going to asking you or being too nervous to ask you and just making a mistake. And then if you'd want to take a step above that, create the training docs ahead of time, have them in writing, and then go through it with them, or create the YouTube videos or the Jing videos. Those are the best ways to train. Make sure they have something to go back on, something to watch.
Is it safe to assume that these people are working for multiple people?
It depends. I have some workers that work for one client 40, 50, 60 hours a week. I have some workers that have a bunch of different clients. It's really supply and demand. It depends how many hours they get from a certain client. They're more than welcome to have clients outside of FreeUp. We don't prevent them from doing that. But yeah, they can definitely have other clients.
Do you offer any tracking software so I know how many hours they're working, or is that all done once the partnership is done?
No. So once you become a FreeUp client, you get access to our awesome software. My developer is actually the lead developer at Disney, and he actually is Universal now, but he built our whole thing It's pretty cool. You log in, you can see all your workers, all their rates. You can see when they punch in, when they punch out. Once they do that, or every time they punch out, they're required to leave notes on what exactly they worked on. So you can always see what they're doing. I mentioned earlier that we have these 15 pages of communication guidelines. So communication is one of those things that with hiring FreeUp, you know you're going to get great communication. You're going to know what our workers are doing at every hour, every task. And there's never going to be anything where you're like, what did this person do for the past 15 hours they billed me for? So our workers always want to keep our clients informed in every situation. If they estimate or they misestimate, they're going to let you know well in advance, get your approval before working more. If you tell them to work 5 hours, they're not going to work a minute over 5 hours. So communication is everything to us. And it's all with our software in a nice, easy to read place for our clients.
Oh man, you guys have really thought of everything, because that's a big issue, right? And you guys have taken that on. Man, I just love it. I can see so many opportunities. I think it's a natural fit. And again, I love the fact that you're in our business so you can relate and help guide people that way. I just think it's great. All right. So you had given me a little bit of I'm very happy with this. I'm very thankful to you that you said if they mention e-commerce momentum podcast, if they mention the podcast, they get 10% off.
Yep.
Forever.
10% off your workers forever.
10%. Dude, that's a lot. And all they have to do is when they sign up or whatever, all they have to do is say e-commerce momentum and they're going
to
get it.
Exactly. You can even go right to freeup.com, click sign up at the top, and it says, how'd you hear about us? Just put that in.
And then boom, you get it. I love it. Yep. I love it. I'm very excited. Now, ways to get in touch with you if people have more questions. So freeup.com, and I'm going to have a link to it, but it's free with three E's, and the E stands for e-commerce. So it's free with three E's .com, freeup.com. And then you have there's a contact button there. Let me see what that does.
Sure. So I'm the easiest person to get a hold of. You can book a time in my calendar right on my website for a free consultation, free meeting.
It says set up meeting right there. Boom.
Exactly. If you go to Skype, if you type in freeup.com, add the freeup.com user account on Skype. My Skype is Portlight, which is my Amazon store, portlight.nhirsch. But if you add the freeup.com Skype account, they'll introduce you to me right away. My assistants man that account all the time. You can email me at nathan@freeup.com. Just remember the 30. And you feel free to add me on LinkedIn, Facebook. I'm pretty easy to contact.
Okay. All right, because I think people will have more questions because, you know, it's intimidating. Let me be honest with you, you know, and I imagine you were at this place. This is intimidating, right? Because it's you know, you're dealing with other people that are going to touch stuff that's personal. It's my business. You know, I'm going to let people get into my little world that I'm kind of protective of. But I love the fact that, you know, you're bringing me somebody that's saying, you know, Steve, you're going to have to trust them. They can do the job. Now, you've got to get comfortable that they're going to do the job, but you're saying they have the skill set necessary to do the job. That's a big deal because that's the unknown. Everybody says it, you know, oh, yeah, if you put something up on Fiverr, you'll get 1,000 responses. Oh, I could do it. That doesn't mean they really do have the skill set, right?
Exactly. I mean, and you're welcome to go out there and find another worker. And I have plenty of clients who hire from FreeUp, and they do their own hiring on the side as well. And if you look hard enough, you're going to find someone good. May or may not be cheaper than FreeUp. Some people find it. We're definitely not the Walmart of workers. I don't pretend to be. We offer reliable, good workers at market rates. So, and there are times that you go out there and you pay or you hire these really cheap workers and they're awesome. Sometimes they stay for a long time. Sometimes they quit or they disappear. It's really a risk reward type situation. And I see the pros and cons of doing both. But at least with FreeUp, you kind of know what you're getting. You know it's going to be reliable. You know that we're not going to upcharge you. It's going to be market rates. So that's kind of the difference between going out on your own and finding a worker and using FreeUp.
Love it. All right, dude. FreeUp with the extra E. Man, I really thank you for coming on because, again, you know, I love the fact that, you know, you're a seller, so you get it. But I also love the fact that you've proven the concept. You know, I mean, the fact that you're using, you know, 10 or 30, depending on the time of year, yourself, you're not just talking the talk. You're actually walking it, and that's very rare in today's business world. So, man, I appreciate you coming on. I wish you nothing but success. Remember, e-commerce momentum, you get 10% off when you sign up, and it's 10% off for life. When you said that, that blew me away. Very cool.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Take care.
Okay, so I love the interview. Love him. Love what he's doing. Again, you're thinking about scaling up your business, it's time you take and get help. As Mitchell Lee, Harvey Specter would say, you got to buy time. This is a great opportunity. 10% off. You're getting somebody with the skills that you need more advanced. They've got more advanced. You don't have to vet them. They do it. They have tracking software that'll show you how to keep track of what they're doing. So you'll know exactly what they did for you that day. To me, those are the tools that you need. You don't want to be going, go try to hire somebody on Fiverr or whatever. Everybody has the skill set you need magically until you need the work done. And then all of a sudden, oh, I really don't know how to do that. That's not my skill set. They vet them for you. Big deal. E-commerce Momentum, when you sign up, you get 10% off in perpetuity. I love that. ecommercemomentum.com. I'm starting my blogging. I've got a couple out there. I'll probably add another one over the next couple of days. Hope you enjoy this. ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.